And it's just gone 14 minutes past 10 o'clock on a Monday morning. A very good morning to you. I'm Zane Johnson in for Keno Cummies until 12 o'clock on the Today Show. I hope you are having a fantastic Monday. For those of you who are lucky enough to actually be on a holiday, most educators have closed up school last Wednesday. Things are looking a little bit easier on the roads. If you are out there going to a shopping center, be very, very careful and be mindful when you are at the shopping centers. The very one thing that you need to be mindful about the shopping centers is security. Your phone in your back pocket is a bit of a dangerous thing when you're standing in a long queue and everybody's bumping everybody. And you're trying to get to that special that you wanted so desperately. And you could be wanting 10 cupcakes and eventually lose your phone that's worth about 9,000 rand. So just be very careful. Be aware of your surroundings is what I'm saying when you are out there this morning. Time to turn to our international desk and our United States foreign policy expert and associate editor at Daily Maverick, Brooks Spector. Chats to us always on a Monday morning. Good morning to you, Brooks, and welcome to the show. Brooke, are you there?
I'm right here. Can you hear me?
There we go, yes. I've been watching the Trump impeachment for some time now, and it seems that the House of Representatives on the way forward after hearing legal scholars on this. Chat to us about that. I sometimes don't understand all of the jargon in this whole impeachment story.
All right, well, let's break it down. Right now, today, in fact, the Judiciary Committee, it's essentially what you call a portfolio committee in South Africa. The Judiciary Committee is going to have its deliberations in public, live on television, about whether or not there should be charges brought against the president. They will not, at least today, they won't actually write the charges. The indictment, what are called in America, the constitutional term is articles of impeachment. But there is a theory now that they may well get to them within the next week or two to actually issue the specifics of what he is to be held accountable for. And then once that happens, then the full House of Representatives must vote on it. Since the House is held by the Democrats, the party in opposition to Donald Trump, the outcome is virtually assured. He will be impeached, but that doesn't mean he is removed from office. And we often get that confused. People say, he's going to be impeached. And then the assumption is there come the moving vans to take away his gold gilt furniture and his suits. No, what happens then? It goes to the Senate, which is the upper house, 100 members, 2 per state, where they act as if they were a full bench of judges, all 100 of them, and they then vote on whether or not he should be convicted of these charges. Now, since the Republicans hold the Senate, the thinking is, absent some extraordinary development, a smoking cannon, as it were, not just a gun, the Senate will refuse to vote to convict him of the charges. And he will remain president, but when someone gets to write his obituary, it will be Donald Trump, 45th president of the United States, who was impeached on the articles who remained president until the general election in 2020 or 2024, depending on how that election goes. So this is, in spite of his, it's a hoax, it's a fake. This is a battle for his legacy and for the first line of his obituary, even at this point. The whole thing, of course, started from his efforts to, extort from the government of Ukraine a pledge to investigate his likely rival in the 2020 election, former Vice President Joe Biden, and his son on the grounds, specious though they may have been, that Joe Biden and his son were somehow involved in getting the Ukrainians to carry out all the involvement in the American election in 2016, and then blame the Russians for it. Now, people have, all the intelligence agencies in the country have debunked this theory ad nauseum, but he's still refuses, that is, the president refuses to give way on this and believes it with a whole heart. And as a result, they wouldn't release the defensive weapons, that is, a whole series of anti-tank missiles worth about $400 million worth of the things, until there was a public pledge by the new president of Ukraine that they would carry out this investigation. Now, by most standards and most law experts, that sort of textbook old-style bribery, do it this way or else we won't do anything for you. It sort of sounds a little bit like the mafia, you know, when they tell you you owe money. By the way, how is your wife? She's still healthy?
Yeah, I think I got the gist of it when it was, you know, the president betraying the American people. I think that is a bottom line. Does this mean that there will be a massive sort of effect on his campaigning for 2020? Because, I mean, we've got the 2020 elections coming up.
Well, that is a key question. I mean, it's the one that, you know, endless numbers of head-scratching meetings are taking place on this already, and the reams of columns and copy online and in print are already being dispensed on this. If the surveys and the polling data is accurate, somewhere a little bit more than 50% of the population as a whole believes that the president should be impeached and removed from office. But if you were to ask Republicans the same question as they do, the numbers are very different. A very small number of Republicans believe that. Most of them believe that he should not. And, of course, the numbers are reversed for Democrats. But interestingly and alarmingly, perhaps for the president, independents tend to feel about the same way as Democrats do. But the election, of course, is not held on a national unitary vote. It's state by state by state. So, you know, you can get everybody in California to agree with you and everybody in New York and Illinois, but you only get the electoral weight of those states, even if you won every single vote. And you have to win a majority plus one of the electoral weight of the states to win the presidency. Yeah. So there is going to be a battle once the Democratic nominee is picked. And at this point, it looks a little bit like a circular firing squad. People are busy shooting at each other. And there are some people wringing their hands from the outside, including former President Obama, says, we really have to get ourselves together, folks, on this before things get out of hand completely.
Yeah, it looks like it actually can get out of hand before 2020. Now, from one funny haired guy to another funny haired guy, Britain is going to have an election, and the polls predict the Conservatives are counted to win the majority. And I see that Boris Johnson will visit four Brexit voting Labour held seats in Humbersdale and the northeast England later, you know, with 3 days to go before polling day.
Well, I mean, at this point, Jeremy Corbyn is probably hanging on desperately to the memory that the polling apparatus, the attitude survey people, they didn't get it quite right on the original Brexit referendum, now did they? What was that, 4 years ago? They missed it. They argue it was a late swing. They argue that people came out in droves that they hadn't expected to have vote in it, and on and on and on. But the perils in the British election is the national polling says Boris Johnson has it in the bag, but you don't win an election in Britain either by simply piling up all the national votes. You win it constituency by constituency by constituency. And in an election where you don't just have the Tories and Labour, but you also have the Liberal Democrats and Scottish Nationalists, and is there a Green Party ticket running as well this year? Yes. And all of those are going to cause the votes to go in not necessarily easily predictable ways. Although, again, as you say, the polling all seems to say Boris Johnson's gamble has paid off, that he will have a majority of the parliament for a change. And it'll be a Christmas gift for him just, what, 13 days before the holiday.
Yeah, and it's going to be a bit of a tough one also for, you know, for the British guys, because if you've got Brexit and all the other things going on. So, people are as confused in the United States as they probably will be out in Britain. The French yellow vests have become somewhat of an icon and somewhat of a worldwide phenomenon, a worldwide known phenomenon in any case. But, they protest pension reform.
Yeah, this has been going on for months. Well, the protests have been going on for months and months and months. The yellow vests. My French is terrible. I won't even attempt to try to tell you that in French.
That's why I stuck to yellow vests.
I can't possibly pronounce it right. You'll get calls and you'll get SMSs and you'll get all kinds of messages. Mm. But, the protests originally in France were, they seemed to come out of what people were calling the forgotten France, the other France, the small merchants, the people who use vehicles as an integral part of their work. And there were a whole series of questions, including changes in the price structure and taxation on petrol. But it has now shifted considerably to Emmanuel Macron's proposal to significantly overhaul the French pension system. If my memory is correct, there are 47 separate pension systems in France, and his idea is to rationalize, make it simpler, make it more uniform, make the benefits more equal. But obviously, making benefits more equal means that some people are going to lose out, and they're clearly not very happy with it. And it is, in many ways, it's a kind of revolt by the periphery against the center, against the elite, against the people who control things, against the people, the smart people, the people who eat in the fancy restaurants and who have nice clothes and all that, as opposed to the folks. And that's not an unusual phenomenon. I mean, that's a phenomenon that is, to a considerable degree, has been motivating and energizing the Trump phenomena as well, and even to some degrees the Brexit debate.
No, and I think when you start fiddling with pensions and state pensions, and as we have here in South Africa with the PIC, it becomes a bit of a dark thing to start messing with in terms of, people's pension funds and stuff like that. But it also seems to be a money that one can access quite easily in terms of what we see around the world. United States foreign policy expert and associate editor at Daily Maverick, Brooks Spector, chatting to us this morning. 27 minutes past 10. A very good morning to you. I'm Zane Johnson. In for Kimo Kamis until 12.